as we spend a wee while together tonight. Could we just bow together in prayer now before we turn to the reading of the word? Our Father and our gracious God in heaven, we do thank thee that this Wednesday evening we're able to meet again in God's house. Thank you, Lord, for the lovely weather outside now and for the joy that we have in our hearts in knowing, even as we drive along to the building, knowing that the Lord has promised to meet with us as we meet together and we call upon his name. And Father, this evening we do thank thee for thy love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for that love that sent the Saviour to Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for his obedience, even to the death of the cross. And Father, tonight we do thank thee for all that has been provided for us in him. Lord, we're so glad tonight that we're saved. We thank you, Lord, for that time in our experience when we came just as we were with all of our sin, that heavy burden that was bringing us to hell. And Father, tonight we thank thee that we can say with the words even of the children's chorus that it's rolled away. And Father, tonight we do thank thee for all that you've provided for us, even since the Lord's day, for the presence of God in our homes, for his word to our heart. Thank you, Lord, for being with us as we've been out and about. And Lord, tonight we pray again, as we've come together to meet in fellowship and to seek thy face in prayer, that the Lord would come and presence himself amongst us again. We do remember every family that is associated with the work in Achillea in any way. And Lord, we do recognize, Lord, that there may be many needs that we know of and many other needs that we don't know of. And Lord, we just commit each one to the Lord tonight. And we pray that the Lord would draw near, thinking of those, Lord, who may be unwell, that you administer to them. We pray for a full recovery for Muddy. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that she's been doing so well. We do remember Charlotte's need and Mervyn and Dorothy and Emma and Ruth and the family there too as they come to terms with totally changed circumstances. May the Lord meet every need in the days ahead. We do remember the young people, the youth connected with the church and the boys and girls as well. And Father, we pray that you would keep them safe, keep them in good health and strength. And Lord, as many will contemplate going back to school before too long, we ask that everything might work out for them well and fall into place there. We do remember, Lord, those connected with our assembly that are on holiday, that you'd be with them, keep them safe, give them a time of rest, time of refreshment in their heart, and may they come back again, knowing the Lord's presence, and ready to be involved in the work again. We do ask, Lord, for the gospel in these days. Father, we realize that there has been in the whole nation, and many parts of the world, this pandemic that ought to have caused men and women to think. And Lord, we know that some have turned to thee, but man again has demonstrated just how hard he is. And Father, therefore, right across our nation tonight, there are so many that resent the Lord and hate his word and have no time for the gospel. And Father, therefore, we pray that even this night that the Lord would bless that word, because it is the word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, for us tonight, we pray that you would settle us down in the Lord's presence, that you would do our hearts good. Lord, may we enjoy the fellowship together. We thank you for everyone that has come along tonight. And for those who would often be present, can't be out tonight, may the Lord be with them and undertake for them. Bless us each one now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could you turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians this evening? I'm going to read a few verses there. It's the first chapter. If you read through the book of Colossians, it's very interesting that the word all is used over 30 times. And the emphasis of the book is about completeness in Christ and sufficiency in him. And we do trust as we read these verses tonight that I have been thinking about from Sunday that the Lord will use what I say to help you. And that's, of course, what we always want to do. It's Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Could I say that it is very encouraging indeed just to see so many out tonight when I look around me for the middle of the holiday season. We're very, very grateful indeed to you for coming. We know there are several who would be here if they weren't on holidays. And with that in mind, we're so glad to see so many and thank you very much for coming along. The Apostle Paul prayed a lot for himself. And as you read his writings, it is very, very clear that before he went to do anything, even though he knew the clear leading of the Lord, we mentioned on Sunday that he had no doubt in his mind that the Lord wanted him to go to Macedonia. That being the case, and him knowing that, he still sought the Lord earnestly for the Lord's protection and guidance and for all that he would need as he would go to serve the Lord there now. He was writing here to Colossae, and it is a natural thing to care for your friends. And I trust that everyone here, and I believe even from reports that I get from other people, that ugly congregation cares about each other. And that is worth anything. They genuinely care about other people because we know each other, and as we've got to know each other, we've grown to love each other in the Lord. We're all different, of course, but nonetheless, we care for each other. But the Apostle Paul had never met these folk. And he still loved them dearly in the Lord. And when I said that he prayed for himself, he gave himself to praying for them. Now, Colossae was not so much a city. It was a little town, perhaps, when you compare it with Ephesus. Ephesus was very big. A lot of things going on there. But Colossae was a place that was, it was what they call a thoroughfare. I think that's the way you pronounce it, between east and west. And therefore, it was a place where a lot of people were passing through. And Bible commentators tell us that it was the kind of place that there were all kinds of philosophies that were mingled together in what really was a very cosmopolitan area. And it was believed that Colossae was also greatly influenced by contrasting ideologies. So you had all kinds of things and all kinds of thinking going on there. There was a large Jewish colony in Colossae, and there was a constant flowing in of new ideas and what were so-called doctrines from the East. One of the most notable Bible commentators said this. He said, Colossae was fertile ground for religious speculations and heresies. And so it was. And therefore, the apostle, even though he never actually met these people at this time, he cared greatly for them. And I'm drawing your attention tonight, folks, just for a wee while, to his prayer here that we have read in the opening part of chapter 1. You will see there, if you want to look at the
description of his prayer, you'll see that it was marked by persistency. If you look there in verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it," now he's referring to what they had been in the Lord, and he says here, "Do not cease to pray for you." Do not cease to pray for you. Now, the Bible talks about praying without ceasing. And of course, when you and I sleep and we're involved sometimes in work and other things, we're not praying at that moment in time. Very often, praying without ceasing means just to be a man or woman who's given to prayer. And you will pray every day. C.H. Spurgeon was a man who was greatly used of the Lord in God's providence. And of course, he was a man who prayed, but he said, "I seldom pray for more than 15 minutes. He said, "But then during the time that I'm awake, I seldom go 15 minutes without praying." And he was referring to praying without ceasing. Of course, he had other things to do, but he was a man of prayer. Well, it says here, "Do not cease to pray for you." The word there is a word that means consciously pausing. It really means giving up. Giving up. He says, "We do not cease," or "We do not give up praying for you." Remember, he didn't know them. All that he knew about them was from Epaphras, and he knew that there was false teaching that was threatening the church. He knew that there were many there who were young in the faith, and they could struggle. Remember what I mentioned about the area, full of philosophies, fertile ground for all sorts of speculations and philosophies and heresies as well. But not only did he pray constantly for them, it was marked with intensity. If you look there at verse 9 again, it says, "To pray for you and to desire." The thought behind the word desire there is to have a consuming passion. If you have someone and they are training for the 100 meters, and from they were fit to walk, practically they've been running and have been working, and eventually they've got to a point where they're able to represent their own country at the Olympics, and being the first man or woman across that line is something which consumes them. If it doesn't, they'll not win. It has to be that kind of passion to win, that desire to be the first across the line. And that is the kind of thought that there is behind this word desire. So Paul genuinely cares. He prays constantly for them. He prays with great desire for them, or intensity for them. But notice here, he doesn't pray on his own. It says, "For this cause," verse 9 again, "we also, since the day we heard it." It's always good when a Christian's not on their own. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what kind of personality they have. Doesn't matter if they're a loner. Doesn't matter if they're people who love to be in the midst of lots of people all the time. It's good to know that you don't pray on your own, and that there's other people who pray with you and for you. Remember Peter? Peter had an unusual personality, and that's the way I'm going to word it. And you know that. You know a little bit about him. He could sometimes speak out of turn. Now, they didn't hate him for that, and he had to learn. But they didn't hate him for it. But when Peter was in prison in the book of Acts chapter 12, it says prayer was made without ceasing of the church, all of them, of the church unto God for him. There was Christian character here in Paul as he prayed. He didn't let petty little things stop him from praying for these people. Now, Colossae was not without its faults, and had a lot of teething problems, like many of the other churches. And it was a place where he was going to find out that it wasn't perfect. But he loved them in the Lord. And therefore he gave himself to praying continually, praying with great desire, we've already mentioned. And it wasn't just him. Those who were with him were saying, "Yes, we're with you. We know all about them, but we're praying for them. Because they're our brethren and sisters in Christ, and they're in danger there, and we love them in the Lord, and we're going to look to the Lord for them." That is just something of the description of Paul as the praying man. But I want to look now, just for the remainder of my speaking time, at the content of his prayer. You'll find it in verses 9 through verse 14. There's some things he had to say about them. You will see there that he asks, and Some of it's very much on the surface, but there are one or two things we want to draw your attention to in particular. You'll see here that he prayed that they might have spiritual understanding. It's vital that men and women do have. Now, when you're first converted, you might, well, some young people have amazing spiritual understanding for their age, but when you're first a Christian, you have to learn about spiritual understanding. Do you see where he says there in verse 9 again, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? The word knowledge there is, again, it's a key word. And the word filled is a key word in the book of Colossians. It carries the idea. You're looking at it there, that word with knowledge of his will. It carries the idea of being controlled by something. So he's not just saying here, I'm praying that you would be filled with knowledge, that you all be capable of doing a master's degree. Maybe some of them were. Certainly they all weren't. And that's not what he was talking about at all. He's saying, we're praying that you would be controlled by his will. And that is great for any church, to be controlled by the will of the Lord. It also carries the meaning of being suitably equipped. Not everyone that he was writing to could do everything, but all of them could do something. I think it's good tonight, even as we look at this passage, to think about our own missionaries. So easy to forget about them. And I'm just being honest to say that. To pray that the Lord, some of them we've never met, and we don't know all about their circumstances, but we can pray that they will have spiritual understanding, that they will be fully controlled by the will of God, and they will be equipped suitably for what God wants them to do. Now, if you think of being controlled by something, it also is a word which can mean, to be filled with anger. It doesn't on this occasion. If you think of someone filled with anger, they're always angry. I read in the newspaper a few months ago, one of the English papers, it just said in the front of it, Angry Britain. And I just looked at it and walked on and thought, it's true, you know. Angry Britain. And there's things that can get Christians angry too. And we know that, and it's right to hate that, which is wrong, of course. But the thought here is not of being filled. But you can imagine, if you've seen someone on television, and they're fuming, and they're really ripping, as we would say, and they're really, really angry about something, they're full of anger. Well, that's the thought he has here of being completely full of the will of the Lord, and fully equipped for what the Lord would have you to do. So that was a very good way to pray for them, and we need to pray for that, for our missionaries. They sometimes face circumstances that we don't have to deal with in the West. And they're sometimes in situations that are difficult, and unless you're on the mission board or perhaps one of their ministers back home, you don't hear about it. And we need to pray for them that they'll have spiritual understanding. But brothers and sisters, good to pray for each other, that we'll all have this spiritual understanding, that we'll all know the will of the Lord, that we'll all be filled the Spirit of God, and that we'll all be those who are equipped to do whatever we have to do. There's plenty of things I can't do. You'd be better at it. But there's things I can do, and maybe you feel you can't do it. And thus, we need to be equipped to do what the Lord wants us to do. But he mentioned something else here in this prayer. Not only that there would be those who would have spiritual understanding, but that they might lead lives that would not grieve the Lord. If you look there at verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And someone said there is no separation between learning and living. And if they would learn the will of God, then it's almost inevitable that they would want to live the will of God. And that's what you and I want to do. Now, it's increasingly difficult in this 21st century to live the will of God, because there's just so much there. Every road you turn, and posters around the city that you're in, and everything, and it's all against you and what you believe. But we want to pray for each other and for our young people, thinking of them tonight as well, that the Lord will help them to please him. What a great thing at the end of our lives, not to be able to say what we've got, or even who has seen us or recognized us, but be able to simply say, I pleased the Lord. I sought to please the Lord. Remember, we're all watched by the world. He prays also here for them that they might be those who would give themselves fully to what the Lord had given them to do. It says there in verse 10, being fruitful in every good work. And you'll notice there is a sequence here. There's a spiritual understanding. Then there's a walking in a way that will not grieve the Lord. And then there's fruitfulness. Now, you can't define fruitfulness in any one way. You take a missionary who's out in the field there for 30 years and the work eventually closes down. Does that mean that the missionary was unfaithful? It does not. They can still have a fruitful missionary endeavor there, and God in his providence, as they look to him, might please to close that door. But for our missionaries tonight, praying that they might know fruitfulness in their ministry, knowing that if things don't go the way they want them to go, and so often that is the case out there, that they will be able to step back and say, well, at least, you know, we're enjoying a fruitful work because we know we're doing the right thing. We know that God is in control, and we know that we're looking to him. Paul, in his prayer, prayed very intelligently when he prayed that they would be fruitful in every good work. It's important that churches have good works. We can't do everything that we'd want to do at the moment. And talking as I do be to different men, until there's a vaccine, there won't really be any end of social distancing. And until there's an end of social distancing, there's a lot of things that's not going to happen in the whole country. And that's just, I'm afraid that is the way that it seems that it's going to be. I want to move on here and say that he prayed also that they might progress as individuals. Look again at verse 10. And increasing in the knowledge of God. This reference is to the individual. He's wanting them to grow as individuals. Yes, there's plenty of difficulties here. And there's threats against the church as far as heresy and so on is concerned. But he sees the importance of personal communion. Personal communion with the Lord. I don't know whether you look at our thoughts on Thursdays or not. I hope you do. But if you do, you will see that I mentioned something in that. I have it already recorded for tomorrow. That it's very, very easy to be doing many things in the Lord's work, and yet not to grow spiritually. Now, a man with vast experience told us one time. He said one time he got so busy in the work and doing things that his heart lost out with the Lord. His heart lost out with the Lord. Paul is careful here to pray for them that that wouldn't happen, that they would increase. Remember we mentioned knowledge way back there earlier on, and we said that it was to do with being guided by the will of God and being equipped for what you needed to do. Well, in this case, when we're looking at it again, when he's praying for them as individuals in verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God, he's referring to a personal walk. Personal walk with God. And like, you know more of your Bible than you did when you were saved 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. You know how to, you're more sensitive to the leading of the Lord than you were then. And that means you're growing. You're growing as a Christian. Again, for our missionaries, some of them see people who come along and profess salvation, and it takes years and years to get them even taught the basics. And therefore, we want to pray for them as well. I'm moving on quite swiftly here. If you look at verse 11, he's praying here that they will have courage to do that which is right. He says here, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. In a sense, it's always good when we feel our weakness. And we're aware that of ourselves, we can't do anything. But when Paul speaks here, and he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, he uses the Greek word there, kratos, for power. That's the word you're looking at there in verse 11. And it means manifested power, or power that is seen in action. And our missionaries need that. They need that as they seek to witness for the Lord and in their book tables or whatever they're doing. Just manifested power there, a presence of the Lord with them there. His power displayed in their labour for him. If you've read the story of Duncan Campbell, who went to the Outer Hebrides a good number of years ago now, and things have been tough enough, and you're out there, and this is one of the things that he brought before the Lord. Lord, we need to see a manifestation of God's power. Yes, God can give power to preachers week in, week out to preach the word of God, and people may leave and say, well, there's a word from me there, something he said, and we hope that is the case that helped me, maybe just a sentence or even a few words that helped me there. Well, he was praying, Lord, we want manifested power so that this whole community can see it, and that they will know that God is at work. And that God answered for Duncan Campbell. Good to pray that for ourselves as well as for our missionaries. He prays here also something very important, that they might be patient men and women. See verse 11. He says, unto all patience. We're still here looking at his prayer for them. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, when you take something, or in their case, some people who are trying your patience, the heretics, and you take the thought of long-suffering, it's not something that you would naturally associate with joyfulness. But he does. He says here, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Wasn't it C.H. Spurgeon who said that by perseverance the snail got into the ark? Think of that. Our missionaries need perseverance. They need patience and they need to be long-suffering, but we don't want them to do it with brokenness or with sadness or with feeling under great stress. Well, they have a great deal of stress all the time anyway, but we don't want them to be stressed to the point where they're not able to do their work the way they want to. Wanted them to do it with joyfulness unto the Lord. Yes, they need patience, and if there's anywhere you need patience and long-suffering, you need in the mission field out there. He also prays for them that they might be filled with praise. And when you take everything that I've said tonight regarding the philosophies, the heresies, everything that was knocking at the door, all the dangers they faced, Paul begins to pray for them, and he doesn't beat about the bush. He brings before them real situations where they're going to need patience and long-suffering, and they're going to have to grow, and they're going to have to know the will of God, and they're going to have to be those who are guided by the will of God, or they'll go off track, and they're going to have to love one another in the Lord, or else the whole thing is not going to be what it could be. But in all of that, he prays that they'll be filled with praise. If you look there at verses 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You'll see here it's thanksgiving and for all that the Lord has done for them. They don't lose that note of praise. They're thankful for what God has provided. Their own inheritance is mentioned there. They're thankful for what the Lord is able to do. And he's able to pardon those that they're trying to reach. And men and women, tonight, you and I, as we remember our missionaries, you and I can remember this prayer of Paul's for the people there at Colossae. He hadn't met them, loved them in the Lord, really cared about them, prayed without ceasing for them, and he brought it all before the Lord, and he prayed that in it all they would praise him and thank him. It's probably very easy to praise the Lord when everything, if you're a missionary, when everything is going reasonably well and you can come home on a furlough and you can go around on your deputations and you can have a report about many, many positive things. But it's maybe not as easy to praise when you're trying to get your message ready before you come and you're trying to think of some positive things to say, because there's not that many. Not that many. So much harder then to praise the Lord. But he's praying here for them that they will be able to thank the Lord for delivering them and brought them into Christ and saved them by his grace. Of course, what we asked, what we mentioned, that Paul prayed for them, and we could pray for our missionaries, we can pray for all our churches. We're all in this, still in this pandemic together, and we're praying for God's people. And again, I want to say tonight, without going on too much about it, many have become discouraged, and some even despondent, because of all of this, and we want to pray for them that the Lord would help them and encourage them.